Okay, I've got 9:04 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this special meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you today, humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful to have you in our lives and the guidance and the wisdom that you provide us. And we're so blessed at the fair weather and the rains that we've received in this part of the country. Lord, we always ask that you watch over and protect those first responders here on earth who fight the good fight on our behalf. And Lord, we also ask that you provide your guidance, wisdom, protection over our military services who do best their best efforts to keep global peace in your sight. And Lord, as always, we ask for your guidance and your hand of wisdom on this court so we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven and benefits those citizens that reside here within Coryell County. Lord, we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. The citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that is participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none. We'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the FY 2026 Budget Development Workshop. This workshop was scheduled at the request of the court in our last meeting. Most notably, Commissioner Weddle had requested this, and so I'm going to open this up with Commissioner Weddle's comments, concerns, or any input he may have on the proposed budget that has been filed.
Awesome. Thank you, Judge. Had a little bit of time over the long holiday weekend to think, you know, how to explain the process. We've gone through this the last few years, and part of this discussion today, I hope, is to avoid the last minute, amendments to the budget. We've had lots of discussions about, making amendments to proposed budgets. And, it's certainly within we've been advised by our county attorney multiple times. It's within our purview, and I would hope that everybody would be open to discuss these. Believe it or not, I would love to come out of these workshops with a unified court, so that when we vote on the tax rate, and that when we vote, that we have a unanimous vote. Doesn't always work that way. That's the way the court works. Sometimes it's unanimous, sometimes there are dissenters, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, majority rules. So process I'd like to see today is, that we discuss those items, at least ones that I've identified. I hope a few other guys have flipped through it and seen if there's anything else. I believe today is perfectly within our means, just like a regular budget workshop, kind of get a consensus of where we want to go. And then we always have the option the day of the hearing, when we're sitting in front of any public that show up for that hearing, at that point, then we can propose some amendments, if needed, to the proposed budget, and then come out with, to vote on. I said it before, and I think, sometimes other members of this court might be reluctant to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on something, but I think in order to give the judge some clear and concise Which I understand sometimes when you're preparing that proposed budget that we maybe don't give the perfect full, clear and concise opinions, because that's what it is, and a hint of how we might vote. And I just remind everybody that since the day I got into the court, I adhere to this. If we have a vote on anything, no matter what it is, if it's 3-2, that's the majority of this court. Once that happens, then I'm going to support that decision 100%. Had an example of that earlier. Commissioner Matthews and I wanted to put $20,000 in the budget to try to handle the stray animal process. Three commissioners, Commissioner Basham, Commissioner Taylor, and Judge Miller, gave it a thumbs down. And I immediately said, fine, let's remove that out of this budget because three of you don't think it's warranted. That's just the way it should go. So, Judge, mine really hasn't changed. I had a whole lot of pages, but I kind of narrowed it down, I believe, to four areas that I'd like some discussion and some clarification. And this is not in any particular order. It's kind of how it comes up in the budget. So the first one being the judge's supplement. I know we got a letter late, yesterday. I read through that, and we can cover that one. Capital improvement fund replenishment and planning for projects for next year, and not coming down to zero in our capital improvement. The FEMA $1 million that was added in as a revenue stream in the road and bridge. And number four, still, I've got the email from the county clerk regarding that the move of the money. I still don't understand it, and maybe the auditor can just help us. It looks like it's in there twice to me, but maybe not. So those were the only four that I really ended up with that were in. Oh, I'm sorry, there was five. The contingencies in pretrial services from 180,000 to a lesser amount. We had a kind of a discussion, but I don't think we clearly came up with a consensus of, but I think it was, there was some 120 to 100 talk. The auditor pointed out that he had a conversation with Mr. Heyman, and he was comfortable with 100. So I'd like to settle on what we're going to do on that. And so those are the five that I have. And I'd love to open it up to any of the other, commissioners to see if they have any they'd like to add to that list.
Yeah, mine are about the same. I still think there's some fine tuning that it doesn't make a huge difference, but I still think there's some fine tuning on some travel and then some salary discussion on the county court at law positions. I think it was prematurely done, and I think it's forcing the court's hand on something versus wait until the budget's finalized.
Commissioner Taylor, anything to?
I pretty much what he was saying is or Commissioner Weber was saying about the contingency and then the FEMA money. And then the stipend is pretty much all I've got.
Commissioner Basham.
Mr. Ray started going through it, too. There's a place where we make some cuts.
Okay. I'll address things overall as the proposed budget. Everything that's included in the proposed budget are the items that this court gave me the impression that they were supportive of, minus the judge's supplements. Okay. And you can include those for transparency to the public to say this is what we're proposing, and certainly it's well within the purview of this court to reduce those amounts if they were if they chose to do so. And I did want to make it very clear that under Local Government Code Chapter 111.008, in the adoption of a budget, okay, item B indicates that the Commissioner's Court may, not required to, but they may make changes in the proposed budget that it considers, and there's two qualifying statements here, two qualifying pieces of this, that considers warranted by law. And I'll give you an example. There was a House bill that was passed that mandates that the statutory probate courts, and in our county, that's the county court at law handles probate and guardianship, as well as the county court handling probate and guardianship. It mandates that that bond is set at $500,000. And that's effective as of 1 September of this year. And I was not aware of that. That is not an item that we budgeted or projected to budget. However, that is a state mandate. So that's got to be put in there and that cost covered. And the second qualifying statement is, and required by the interest of the taxpayers. So, you know, that's the portion of having a budget hearing to receive that open comment from the taxpayers to say, hey, what was published and proposed, does that support the wants and needs of the taxpayers? So when there is amendments to be made, if they are made, there are those two qualifying statements that must be fulfilled. And I'm sure there will be very contentious conversation about what is warranted by law and what is in the interest of the taxpayers. And if we can't come to some amenable resolution, there are higher authorities that will give us guidance and direction on how to execute what the intent of those statutes are in the state legislature. So to that end, the judge's supplements were put in there because it can be withdrawn. The capital improvement fund includes every project that this court stated prior to August 15th. It did not omit a single one. The FEMA money for road and bridge, okay, is money that's already been expensed. There were materials, manpower, fuel, and equipment costs that have already been expensed, and that is an effort to recoup those funds. Contingencies within pretrial. Those conversations were made post August 15th. So that information was not available to myself prior to August 15th. And that is why that was included previously. And with respect to the county court at law positions, Judge Lee has issued his memo, much like Judge Farrell has issued his memo, setting the salaries and compensation for those court employees, which is established by statute. So I'm sure there's going to be some rebuttals to my comments. That's where, you know, I stand on that. Certainly, within the budgeting process, this court has established a tax rate that exceeds what is required of the proposed budget, and that's certainly in your purview. That is absolutely within the statutes to set that tax rate or to propose the tax rate. And the budget process is very clear. that the proposed budget is the proposed budget. It was submitted in accordance with the state statutes, and what I can say with a clear conscience was what I believed was the support of this court, minus a onesie here and a twosie there, because you're all adult grown individuals. You've got your own ideas. I'll never say that there is a budget that is going to appease every person in this county, much less a commissioner's court. I made every effort to try to be inclusive of all of your desires, even though there were some areas that you individually did not support. And to that end, really a budget is to support the individual elected officials to be able to operate their departments in accordance with state statutes and the best interests of our citizens. Not here to lecture anyone. I spoke more than I intended to, but that's where I stand on where the proposed budget is and what actions the court may or may not choose to take.
Try not to rebut, other than there were a couple of items that we did discuss that were put in the proposed budget that I felt the court didn't want. And then, you know, the $1 million was not in any one of the proposed budgets. We really never even discussed that, and it showed up in the proposed budget, which was, yeah, which is fine. And I get it. What that really does is just artificially can lower the tax rate. It's artificial. We can discuss that. I'd like to move to just, you know, discussing the, you know, the judge's supplement. And this is a, you know, it's an area that people don't like to talk about, which is salary. And, you know, we don't like to talk about, the public doesn't want us to give anybody money. And of course, you know, officials don't want us to deny them any money. So we're in a, you know, in a rock and a hard spot. So, you know, in the best interest of the citizens, I think this is the year that we really have to look at any discretionary spending. I guess late yesterday afternoon, Judge Farrell sent us a letter from the Jimmy Blaylock Chief Justice. But I garnered one line out of this that says it right here. I also ask you to consider increasing those supplements within the allowable range. I ask you to consider, right? Not mandating, not saying we have to do it. Up further in the body, it talks about how these are absolutely at the discretion of the county. And in a year when we are already talking about raising, you know, taxes, and I disagree sometimes when, you know, people say, oh, it's just a little cut. Oh, it's, you know, just that. It's not that big a deal. When you add all that up, it's $28,000. I don't know about you guys, $28,000 is a pretty big deal to me. You know, I figured if even if we took that out and then the $80,000, if I do my math right, you know, that's a quarter of a penny, you know, that affects the tax rate. It'll be about $108,000 that we could cut out immediately of expenses. And so that would be, you know, about a quarter of a penny. I don't think we're obligated to do it. They're already getting a huge raise from the state. They already get $18,000 a year supplement from the county. And I've just stated from the very, very beginning that I just didn't think this is a good year when we are not giving wholesale raises across to the majority of our employees. If, I mean, this year with very, very few raises, and we're giving a optional raise, but all raises are optional, I guess, You were mandatory. I don't know how else to say this. It's transparent to some of the highest paid individuals within the county. That's it in a nutshell. I just don't feel good about that. And I, at the end of the day, I have to feel good about you know, what I'm doing, not only for the employees, but for the citizens. And I mean, I like other comments, but then eventually we just have to say, what do you guys think? And give thumbs up, thumbs down. If it's 3-2, then I think it should come out of there. If it goes 3-2 in favor, I'm all in. I'll support whatever this court makes, but I think we have to make a decision on that because it has, we've had a lot of discussion about it.
I believe all across the state, they've had lots of discussion about it. And I believe that is why Judge Blaylock, Chief Justice for the Supreme Court of the state of Texas, and for the media, I'll give you a copy of this letter so you can reference it as well. I believe that's why he in fact, took the time to pin that particular letter and distribute it, because it's not a question that's facing just Coryell County. It's a question that's facing every county in the state of Texas that has a district court, a district prosecutor, or some other designated court, such as a county court at law, probate court, whatever. So yes, it is, but it's a question to be addressed. You know, I don't completely understand the pushback against it, because I think it's been explained. These judges have not received a raise in their salary, and then that to include the you know, district prosecutors as well, or not prosecute, the district attorney specifically as well, since 2016, 2017, 2018, somewhere in that time frame, was the last statutory adjustment to their pay scale. So it, while it may come as the, you know, a bit of an inopportune time for Coryell County, those are individuals that have not received pay raises, 8 or 9 years. And when we talk about the amount, this, you know, 28,000, in a $30 million budget, give or take, that is what I consider a de minimis amount. But again, the court will have every opportunity next Tuesday following the public hearing to take a vote and then formulate what adjustments that the court wishes to take that are statutory requirements as well as required by the interest of the taxpayers. And I would welcome, you know, any comments that may be pertinent to saying that those salary increases are not in the best interest of the taxpayers. Because we have a fine set of judges. I truly believe that. And they are at the pinnacle, what I believe is the pinnacle of the judicial process. And the judicial process begins with sheriff and law enforcement. And we work the system until it gets to adjudication. So, again, I certainly welcome those statements that support any actions that are warranted by law and required by the interest of the taxpayers. And Sheriff, thank you for you and your staff for being the coal miners, if you will, of the judicial system.
I'm sure this sheriff might be sitting here going, wow, I think I'm grossly underpaid. There's not a person, I think, in the world that works that doesn't think they're underpaid. I worked in the private industry for a long time, and there were years that I couldn't hand out any raises, and there were years that I did. Some people felt they deserved more. That's just the way of the world. And you know, I always have said, if you don't like the situation you're in, there's other opportunities out there. And so this interest of the citizens in a time of the year where we're talking about a fairly substantial, you know, tax increase, no matter which budget we go with, because I will point out the proposed budget is also an increase in taxes. Any little bit of cut, de minimis or not, matters. It also, again, I go back to in the interest of the citizens, I think fairness is important to them. Equity is important to them. That we are able to justify why we would give a optional supplement for the highest paid individuals in the county who, yes, Judge, I can hand out compliments to. I think they do a wonderful job, and I think they earn their pay. And they did get a 25% increase this year, which was well worth it. But I don't think I need to express any more. I think that in the best interest of the public, that $28,000, should come out. But if it stays in by the opinions of the rest of the members of this court, I'm fine with that too. I'm a thumbs down.
Okay. Capital Improvement Fund was the next item that you had brought up for discussion.
Well, are we done with the judge's supplement, or are we going to get opinions from anybody else? Because I don't want to go into the hearing.
I've wrote my opinion.
Yeah, you have.
Several weeks ago. Yeah. So there's no sense in me talking again and wasting time on something that I've already made my mind up on. And I've relayed my opinion to the court. So as far as I'm done, we're done with it. We're just going to vote and see what happens.
Okay.
I mean, we're sitting here wasting time talking back and forth, justifying why and why not and all that. We just need to move on and get something done, accomplished, other than talking.
Well said, Commissioner.
Well, I have been personally trying to avoid that contentious public hearing. I don't think that's in the best interest of the citizens, but that's fine. We'll do it on that day. It'll be a long day, and we will have that same bantering and that same discussion. And so I was hoping we could get some consensus day. I know where you stand.
Well, I mean, but
right now it's a two down.
Well, that's
and I don't know where the other three people stand.
Well, we won't know till the day.
I guess so.
Yeah, I voiced my opinion as well, Commissioner, but I have a problem with the law and how it's written, and how you. I don't look at salary and supplement as the same. Unfortunately, the law does. I disagree with that, but until we have a legislation that gets out of county business, even though we're a subdivision at the state, that's a problem. It's just like a lot of the things that they're working on now. And tying your hands and the decisions that they make, I'm telling you, if this stuff goes through this year, holy smokes, You won't even be able to give a raise to a county employee. They're talking about 2.5%. You know, you can't go over that. That's absurd. There's no way you can even upkeep your budget at that point.
Because inflation will exceed that.
Oh, yes, no doubt. It's a mess. There's no doubt. I think we need to go through the entire thing. The problem is, all we can do is talk about it today.
Right.
We can't change it. You can't fix it. That's the problem. And I understand your point in trying to have a consensus. I do. I truly do. But there's a lots of things that need to be nickel and dime on it and modified, and it does truly benefit the taxpayer at that point. Because I will tell you what, just the proposed budget, people are up in arms. I don't know if you are getting the calls, but I definitely am. And the comments, it is a concern. And unfortunately, I go back to that same point of cutting in the past goes back to bite you in the butt later. And that's what it's done.
And now we have to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Over expenditures also bite you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you spend more than what comes in, yeah, that bites you in the butt. That's true.
All right. Well, I see how this is going to capital improvement. I'll just state exactly what I said. I think it should be a half a cent in there in the rate. We've traditionally always not only replenished, but planned for emergencies and capital improvement things that we don't foresee. Now we can make a list. Yeah, we can make a list of all those things. Like one of them we did not put in the proposed budget that's really come up is $150,000 for the elevator. You know, that's something that's going to happen, not going to be covered under the maintenance budget. So we better have, you know, some kind of mechanism, you know, to plan. And I don't think it would be the worst sin in the world if we ended up with a little bit of a surplus, you know, in our capital improvement budget.
Any part of that building, and I think it's 18, 19, 30, I'm sure I could be corrected, but anything of that building, it takes a specialty. It's not so the plumber can go in there and work on a lot of it. And when you have a problem with a dome or the elevator or this, that, and the other, it costs you. It really does. Cheap to have a building that old and still functional. So, yes, I agree that it has to be prepared.
We've also talked about the roof on, you know, this building and the fashion, Commissioner Basham's opinion. It can probably go another year, but what if it doesn't? Part of a budget is preparing for areas.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have another rain that we had this year.
Yeah.
That would be fine. But I mean, it could be a lot worse. So, I mean, you know, we do have some leaks in it. We've been patching on it, working on it. If we had some rain, and luckily it did not, knock on wood, I wish you would have said that.
Yeah, we got rain all this 35.
I've never lived here all my life. I've never seen this green and pretty in August. They're calling for rain Saturday, 60%.
So, in the best interest of the citizens, I will be trying to support a 0.50 tax rate levy and, you know, capital improvement. Because if we have something like that, then we'd have to borrow the money. And I don't think we have, I'd rather take it up front and not have to borrow it if we have a catastrophic event like this.
And they are. I reached out to them again, and they are putting some stuff together for us, giving us some options. And he did say the worst case scenario of the day, because we've already done some stuff, would be about $100,000. Okay. So.
That's 250,000 in additional.
Man, I'm understand this, but it might come back to bite me in the butt because I don't know. You know, I feel about raising taxes. But, you know, kind of like talking about building a salary, maybe this is not really going to do that. Sure. I mean, I'm old maintenance. You know, I'd say it may come back. And I understand where you're coming from, but we may look at that, you know, next year, because what me saying that is that I have addressed both of those routes. I just got a contract on the tax office today. It'll be done before October 1st. And I think within the 250, I think we can do that elevator. Would things be tight? We have, yes, would we? But I think that I can do that project within the 250.
I hear you loud and clear. The problem is, what you said, maybe we can address next year. The problem is, we don't do some this year, then next year it's going to be two pennies. I mean, it just is. It will be, because we're going to have more projects that come up. So next year, it's going to be at a minimal. You know,
But we have addressed, I mean, right now, throughout the thing, we're seeing anything happening in the old courthouse. That dome's got to be addressed, and I haven't got any bullshit on that. But I mean, those are the two big things that I see, the elevator and the mountain.
And you certainly are not the only one in this court that doesn't want to raise taxes.
I know that.
I mean, I am.
Know that.
As a fiscally conservative person all my life, I just despise it. I mean, but sitting on the outside, I used to raise my arms and scream and rant. And then when you get under the covers and you see how expensive it is, run this place, it's a little overwhelming at times.
Yes, sir.
It is. And it is hard to explain and justify. And at that point, I feel like we just have to do. The FEMA $1 million. We talked a lot about this. I listened to the Road and Bridge Administrator, who last time said he did not feel comfortable with it. I've listened to the auditor who says that he does not think it's in the best interest to have that $1 million in there that's not a guaranteed revenue stream, you know, for extreme comments. Why not make it $2 million? Let's really drive that, you know, rate down. Right? We can put it here. Again, it's tough. I'd love to be able to say we're going to get that $1 million for sure. But I don't think there's anybody, unless, you know, Judge, you know something we don't know, that we're going to be guaranteed of getting that $1 million. We thought we were going to get it last year. We expensed it last year. And we put it in there and it didn't happen. I just think that is in the best interest of the citizens not to overstate our revenues. I'd rather be honest with them. Hey, look, it'll be wonderful if it does come through. But right now, we can't. No. Of course, I feel like I'm repeating what I said last time. Contingency pretrial, I think it should go from 180 to 100 based upon the comments and the input from the auditor talking to Mr. Amos. And Mr. Wood, maybe you can help me with this. And I just brought it up because I didn't understand it in the past. The way we're doing I support that we're using record management funds to support employees. In fact, I know Commissioner Matthews has asked multiple times, can we do more of that? But it just appeared to me that it was expensed twice. Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I?
You mean it's expense twice?
Well, I don't know what I mean. If I knew what I meant.
So currently there is a $40,000 transfer out to the general fund. Directed to the county clerk revenues, and that supports it doesn't support totally a position in her office, right, but it does support 40,000 of that position. And then there's salaries, other 56,000. I think it was explained last time, it was to protect a guardian probate liaison position.
And I was incorrect in making that statement. Ms. Newton did send out an email to the court, and Ms. Newton, would you like to address the court on why you wanted that increase to the 56,000 per our conversations and your email?
Yep. So I keep a minimum staff. I run an effective, efficient office. I keep my staff. There is no turnover. I do not leave open positions. So the additional 16,000 is a supplement, just like the other offices get SB 22 and all their other supplements that they can supplement salaries for. So if need be, we can do $2,000 increases in my office for my staff. The $40,000 that is transferred out is for the land management position. That has been in effect for a few years now. So it's not an insurance policy for a position. It is my position. It is what we have been paying.
Thank you.
So that's supposed to be 16,000 instead of 56.
The number that I received was 56.
Okay. I just thought of
that. Yes.
Well, that's where the confusion comes in. But now I heard a different. That this will be used for supplementing the other individuals within her office. It's not to cover the. We've already covered the 40,000 transferred out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 57,000 of discretionary spending money for handing out increases to the employees within the county clerk's office. That, if passed, is totally for the fine, I think. But I know there's a whole lot of other, this could be a slippery slope.
Oh, sure. There's other departments that would love to have that ability.
And some that do, that we open up a can of worms. Well, yes, the sheriff probably has money beyond the SB 20. It's not even fair comparing SB 22 to a program. I mean, that's a state funded that could go away. Everybody just kind of process that because that was all new. And I think that's, and I agree with you guys, this could be very short. Commissioner Town. I hit all my highlights, judges supplement, capital improvement fund, FEMA, $1 million impact, the county clerk, I don't know what to call it, supplement, and the contingencies in pretrial. And that could be ballparking 76. Be $180,000 that we could immediately just.
Doesn't that kind of clerk money out of the record management money ain't gonna help you on your taxes?
No,
that's right. But I'm gonna that you figure.
Okay, thanks, sir.
It won't. You're absolutely right. It won't. It just.
Those are revenues that are generated by her office
Correct.
That are fee related and not taxpayer.
Like Carruthers creates fees. Sheriff office creates fees. Yeah, those are additional.
District revenue. Courts, county court at law, county court, all of those create fees. They create revenue for the county.
So go back, it could be a slippery slope of then all those other, we do it this year, then get ready next year. I would. That's all I have on my radar today.
The other one that I've got written here are the county court law positions that Commissioner Matthews had identified.
Yeah. I have a hard issue or a big problem when a position is filled and a salary is promised before it's budgeted.
So I went back and listened to that recording that came out of your conversation with Commissioner Matthews.
Yes, sir.
Don Lee sat right there in that chair.
Yes, sir.
Told y'all just exactly what his plan was.
Yes, sir.
And what y'all's heading on, and he got it. He moved forward. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he did.
The budget, I understand you went back and listened to it, and that's fine. I will tell you this, until a budget is finalized, until money is in the bank, something should not be promised or expended.
Y'all should have told him. When he came down here and sat down there and talked to y'all, y'all should have told him.
I talked to him personally.
Okay. Well, you must have made yourself very clear.
And I don't think you can see a head nod in our recording.
I was sitting here too.
Okay.
Went back and listened and clarified something that the nephew said was said or wasn't said.
I understand the importance of the position. I understand that. But there was money in the budget to pay that person until the budget was finalized. That is the concern that I have. Otherwise, everybody could come in here and say anything and everything. And that just kind of forces your hand is what I'm trying to say. There's no way of doing a county budget that way.
That's the reason he came in here to sit down and talk to y'all about it, so he wouldn't be putting y'all in a position that y'all would be on the same page, just like all of us have done in the past.
Well, I just think he should have waited.
Well,
okay, anything else under that? Any other topics that the court wishes to consider under the proposed budget?
So, regarding a meeting tomorrow, is it within the purview of the court to be able to make a motion to cancel the workshop for tomorrow?
It is. I mean, well, that and I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, if you want to cancel the workshop, I just need to post notice that the workshop's canceled. And I mean, there's not really, because this is a workshop, there's not an action to be taken, but I can certainly take the guidance from the court to make an action, to take an action to cancel that workshop if that's what the court so chooses, or we can convene tomorrow. Either one, I'm amenable either way to make that happen, to support what the court wants to do.
Based upon the lack of, I mean, we just really didn't have that, but I was hoping for a full open, dialogue and I just think, yes, I think it would be a waste of the court's time and, of course, of the public's time to, unless anybody else thinks we need to have one. It'll be a long day on the hearing day.
Either way, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, we've, as far as I'm concerned, we've discussed all mine. I've made my opinion clear on it, on mine. I don't see any need in it. I think it's going to be another day about like today.
Yeah.
Same thing will be said again and again.
And sooner or later, we have to.
I mean, we've hit the real, in my opinion, we've hit the big ones and we hit some smalls. We've done been through all the travel stuff. We've cut everything bad. And we got to have, there's got to be money in the travel for us, keeping your education hours up and all the meetings you have to go to. So, I mean, we got that down to the bare minimum. Maybe it'd just be a waste of time if we come back tomorrow, sit here and do the same thing we've done today.
Great.
Given discussions that I've heard from the court, I would anticipate that, or I would encourage you to anticipate that I would publish a notice today so that tomorrow's meeting would be canceled, and a lot of these things. Well, I say a lot of these. The items that are here, I certainly am going to get with Mr. Wood so that at the conclusion of the public hearing on next Tuesday, maybe there's something that can be proposed that the court might be a little bit more amenable to, given the discussions I've heard since the proposed budget has been published versus, you know, kind of where we are. And I will say this, you know, wholeheartedly, I don't think that there's any budget whatsoever that I could propose that everyone is going to say it's 100%. I mean, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. There is a balance between revenues, expenditures, and the interest of the public. So to that end, I expect that there was going to be criticism from this court about anything that I would propose, but I can tell you that there will be some items for the court to consider following the public hearing on next Tuesday. And that's the best way that I can put it. So with that, there's always an opportunity for closing comments. So I'll just kind of go around the horn. Commissioner Taylor, anything that you'd have to add?
No.
Commissioner Matthews?
I have none.
Okay. Commissioner Weddle?
Nothing to add, Jeff.
Commissioner Basham? Okay. That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you all.